We're very pleased to continue our study in the sixth chapter of 1 Samuel. And this part of the passage is telling about the return of the Ark of God by the Philistines back to the land of Israel. And what has happened up to this point is that the Philistines have decided that they're going to take two milk cows that have never been worked with a yoke before. They've never been attached to an ox cart before. And they place this ark on a new ox cart and attach these two milk cows to it. They take their calves away from them and put them in a pen so that the cows cannot have their calves go along with them. And then they let them just by chance go along this road to see if they're going to take them back to this city in Israel, Beth Shemesh. So there must be some supernatural power to intervene here, or these cows would never go along a strange road, away from their calves, pulling a cart they'd never pulled before, and take this ark to the right place. But they're going to put it to a test, these Philistines are, and if these cows do not take the ark back to the right place, then they're going to say that all this punishment that had come upon them was just a chance. This destruction of the idol Dagon, these terrible diseases they had, known as the emrods, the death of the people, was just a chance unless these milk cows actually miraculously took this cart back to the right place. So we can see how people are willing to be blind of God's punishments, of God's corrections, of God's chastisements. And we must, of course, not allow ourselves to be in that position of willingly be blind of the things that God is doing. So beginning in verse 10, we're talking about the cart being taken back by the milk cows now. And the men did so, and took two milk kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mass of gold and the images of their emrods. So they're sending it back along with this ark of God, a coffer that has their offerings. They made golden offerings, offerings of golden mice, and offerings of these golden images of their emrods. Now these emrods were the terrible rectal diseases that the people had been afflicted with as a result of the ark being over there. And as we've mentioned before, now the law of Moses does not call for golden offerings to be made for trespasses. He wanted blood offerings, but these Philistines are ignorant of the true law of Moses, and they've chosen to send offerings of their own in their own way, what they think that an idol would want to have, and so they send these offerings of gold along with the ark. Verse 12, and the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turning not aside to the right hand or to the left. So we see that these cows, through some miraculous guidance, and of course we know that it was God doing this, they went straight to the city of Beth Shemesh. They didn't turn to the right nor to the left, although their natural instincts was for them to have their calves with them. They were lowing for the calves as they went along, showing that there was a conflict here, nature on the one hand calling them to go back to the calves, but God on the other hand directing them to take the ark to this city of Beth Shemesh. And the Lord of the Philistines went after them under the border of Beth Shemesh. So the Philistines leaders, the lords of the Philistines, they followed along. They wouldn't trust somebody to just give them an eyewitness report of this. They wanted to see for themselves if this truly was the God of heaven that was leading this ark, directing this ark. They wanted to see if this miraculous thing would come about, and certainly it did happen, and they saw it, and so they followed it to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now, the city of Beth Shemesh is an appropriate city. It was located on the edge of the tribe of Dan, but it was actually a possession of the tribe of Judah. And the intention of God was that this ark would now be in the possession of the tribe of Judah, and as we know, it eventually was placed in Jerusalem where the temple was built. And as he says in Psalms 78, verses 67 and 68, moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. So the ark would never go back to Shiloh, but it was eventually going to remain in the tribe of Judah. And probably the city of Shiloh had been sacked by the Philistines as a result of this battle, or for some other reason it had lost its prominence. Just the very fact that the priests had elected to take the ark out of the city and place it in the field of battle was such a mark against Shiloh that the God never returned there with the ark. We'd also like to note that this city of Beth Shemesh was one of the cities that was given to Aaron's sons. That is, it was a city used for the possession of the Levites. This is stated in Joshua 21, verse 16. And so it is another reason why it would be an appropriate city, because there were some Levites there to attend to it. We'd also like to note that the Philistines sent the ark back with this offering, these golden offerings. And so they were actually paying the Israelites to take the ark back. Now, it is the policy of God that when he redeems his people, that he does not pay for their redemption. When they came out of Egypt, he didn't pay for them to be redeemed out of Egypt, but the Egyptians were glad to get rid of the Israelites when they finally had suffered the 10 plagues. When he brought his people out of the captivity of Babylon, he didn't pay Babylon to bring them back, but they were returned without any price being paid. And here with the Ark of the Covenant, as it comes back into Israel, Israel doesn't pay a ransom for it, but the Philistines are sending offerings, and they feel that they're glad to be rid of it. Verse 13, "And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it." So now this is an unusual thing, to see the ark coming down the road being pulled by these two milk cows. They probably thought they'd never get the ark back. Here they are out reaping their wheat, and they look up and here comes the ark down the road. And they're surprised, but they're also very joyful. They're rejoiced to see it. Now there's some who are critical of these Beth Shemites. They say, well, they should have been so interested in the ark that they would have had some kind of spies to give advance notice of the fact that the ark was coming, they'd be prepared for it. They were just going about their daily routine business and not really worrying about the ark. Others say that this was a favorable report to find them in the fields harvesting the wheat. That means that they were busy people, they were industrious people, that they were not lazy and slothful, and yet they were very glad to see the ark. Verse 14, "And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Beth Shemite, and stood there where there was a great stone." Now, we don't know exactly why it stopped in this field of Joshua, but it's either because the field was owned by persons who would have a special interest in the ark, or it more probably is because this great stone there was something that could be used to place the ark upon. So they clave the wood of the ark and offered the kind of burnt offering unto the Lord. So not only were they going to place the ark on this great stone, but they took the cattle that had pulled it and offered them at that time, and they used the wood of this new cart to burn the offering with. And it would have been not appropriate to use these cattle nor this cart for any other purpose once they had been used for the purpose of pulling this great, glorious ark of God. And there's a very good chance that the Philistines intended for these things to be used in that purpose also as an offering and as a sacrifice. Verse 15, "And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord, and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone." So we see there were Levites here. They were people who would be more suited to handling and taking care of the ark. They took it down off the cart, put it on the great stone, and they also put along with it this coffer that had the jewels of gold. These are also called vessels of gold. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. So there were multiple sacrifices given here, giving thanks to God for the return of this ark. They were very appreciative, very pleased to have the ark to come back into their presence. Verse 16, and when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. So these lords of the Philistines observed long enough to see that the ark did get back. They saw how well it was received by the Israelites, and then they went back the same day to Ekron. Verse 17, and these were the golden emeralds which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord, one for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, and one for Ekron. So each of the five major cities of the Philistines had a golden emerald representing it. And this was symbolic of the terrible diseases that these people had suffered as a result of their capturing the ark. Verse 18, and the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both of fenced cities and of country villages, even under the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord. So these golden mice had represented the plague of mice in the fields. They had one of them to represent each of the cities of the Philistines, apparently. And this great stone of Abel was the place where the ark was put now. And it's a far cry from being in the tabernacle. It seems it may be a sort of a degrading act to place the ark here out in the field on this stone of Abel. But we need to remember that this is a much, much better place for it than for it to be in the hands of the Philistines. And certainly it's much better to be out in this field than to be in the temple of the god Dagon, this idolatrous temple. And we would like to note that it was placed on this great stone. And of course, God has built the church upon a great stone. It is founded upon a rock that cannot be moved. And so this is appropriate and symbolic. So it was placed on the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. So this was such a large stone that even at the time of the writing of this history, it still was there, something that had not been moved, and possibly so large that it could not be moved with any ease. Although the ark has been returned to Israel, it's now in the city of Bethshemesh. Beginning in the 19th verse, we learn of a sad turn of events because of the sin of the men of Bethshemesh. Verse 19 says, and he smote the men of Bethshemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. Let's look at the sin of these men first of all. They were smitten because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Now this was something that was a forbidden act. All the Israelites had been taught for a long time that the ark of the Lord was a sacred, holy thing. It was a thing that was to be kept within a veil, that only the high priest went into the presence of the ark once a year. And so it was no secret, no new thing, that this ark was something that was not to be treated in a profane or unholy or unsacred way. But these people had looked into the ark. That is, they had somehow or other removed the covering from it, either pried the lid off or unscrewed it, or however it was attached onto the ark, and desecrated it by looking into it, maybe even examining or handling some of its sacred contents. It had the two tables of stone upon which the law of Moses were written. It had Aaron's rod that budded, and it also had the some samples of the manna from heaven that they'd received while they were in the wilderness. And so this was a sin. This was mistreating the holy things of God. This was treating the things of God as though they were not holy, as though they were something common. And consequently then, God brought a punishment upon them. Now he says that even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men. The way this reads here, it sounds like that there was 50,070 men that were slain here at Beth-Shemesh. But we have other translations that render this somewhat differently, and there are several divided opinions as to exactly what this is saying. Some say that there were 50,000 that were slain of the Philistines and 70 slain here at Beth-Shemesh because of the sin of looking into the ark. Others say that of 50,000 men that 70 were slain. And even others say that there were 50,000 of the people in general that were slain and 70 from the town of Beth-Shemesh that were slain. And one of the difficulties here is that Beth-Shemesh was a city that was really not large enough to have 50,070 men in it, much less that number to be slain. So there are some difficulties in understanding this, and it is quite possible that only 70 were slain, and it is also quite possible that 50,000 in all had been slain before it got to Beth-Shemesh, and then while in Beth-Shemesh, 70 were slain. But at any rate, we learn that the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. Even 70 would have been a great slaughter. And so because of their sin, because of their desecration of the holy thing of God here, they were smitten with a great slaughter. Well, this caused the people to lament. This caused the people to be sorry. This caused the people to wonder what has happened to us. And of course, the punishments of God are designed to do that. They're designed to bring about a great feeling of consternation. It's designed to cause someone to be afraid, to stop and take a look at their action and to see how that they should make some changes and to see where they've done things that are wrong. And so it certainly got the attention of the people here in Beth-Shemesh. Verse 20, "And the men of Beth-Shemesh said, 'Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us?'" So we see two things outstanding here in their thoughts. First of all, they're blaming God as being too holy, too strict, having standards so high that nobody's able to stand before him. Nobody's able to follow his desire. And this is a common fallacy and a common thought on the part of men. Whenever they see that they're displeasing to God, then they blame God with being too strict for man to be able to please him. Nobody can stand before this God. And that's really not true at all. He had very clear instruction about the ark. There had been a definite precedent set that it was a holy thing and it was not to be looked into by the common men, even by the priests. And so it's not a matter of God being too strict. It's a matter of them just simply not wanting to obey God. And we must not allow ourselves to make this mistake of thinking that nobody can stand before God, that his standards are so high and so holy that there's no use to even try. Well, let's just give up on the matter, because that's not the way it is at all. God has standards that man can follow, and they're intended for man. And the second thing here is, "And to whom shall he go up from us?" That is, their first thought was, where can we send this ark to get it out of our presence? Let's get it from us. Let's get it away from here, because it is something we do not want in our presence. And that's another great fallacy that man has. When they see the holy things of God, and when they realize that it's going to require some diligence and effort to be satisfactory to God, then they want to get the things of God away from them. Let's move out of the presence of God and the things of God. Let's get away from the church. Let's get away from the things that are going to require such strict attendance to our manner of conduct, and let's go into an area where these things are not. Let's get into a place where the things of God do not matter, and the things of God are not even found. And so that's what they wanted to do here. Let's get the ark away. To whom shall they go up from us? "And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, 'The Philistines have brought again the ark of God. Come ye down and fetch it up to you.'" So they wanted to send it to another place. And so there was another town on down the road a little ways named Kirjath-Jearim. And it also was a city that belonged to Judah. It was in the border of Benjamin and Judah, but it really belonged to Judah. It was about 10 miles from Jerusalem, and so they wanted the people in that town to take this ark. And they gave the message to them that the Philistines had brought again the ark of the Lord. Come down and fetch it up to you. You take it. You keep it. And so rather than go back to Shiloh, we don't know exactly why it didn't go back to Shiloh, the ark went to Kirjath-Jearim. And we're going to see that it stayed in this place for some 20 years when David then took it to the house of Obed-Edom. And we see that this behavior of the men of Beth-Shemesh in wanting to get rid of the ark is typical of the behavior of man. On the one hand, they had a very compelling desire to look into the ark, to see things that really weren't even theirs to be seen, see things that God didn't intend for them to see and to know. And yet on the other hand, when they had transgressed and gone beyond, and they saw that this was displeasing to God, then they wanted to see nothing. They wanted to completely get rid of it. So a presumptuous boldness on the one hand to peer into the things of God, and then this changed to a slavish shyness on the other hand to be completely free of and rid of the things of God. How much better it would have been if they could have just simply made their peace with God and said, we want to have the ark, we want to take care of the ark, and we want to do it in the proper way, we want to follow God's will concerning it. And then it might have even been possible that this ark would have remained in this city forever, and they would have been truly a blessed city because of it. But no, because sin had entered in, and they had no true desire to really straighten things up with God, they wanted to get rid of the ark, which they did. And so they lost an opportunity to maybe have this ark to be in their presence, like it was later in the presence of Jerusalem, in the days of its great glory. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.